wants your crown. Be trampled in the streets. Oh, America, don't let your name go down in such defeat. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. America, America, once God's word was your standard, how gradually you've compromised, how far finally wandered for the years of silent apathy. To God we now repent for the years of work we might have done that's already now been spent. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. Land needs Jesus now. If he's confined within the church, its walls will crumble down. We must awake, we must arise for his kingdom to secure. We know the battle has been won. Yes, the victory is sure. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Now don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lessons to be learned. See the lesson to be learned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. You better just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. You better just open up your eyes and see the lesson.
Remnant, good evening and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard. We're coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this April 4th, 2024. That's 4-4-24, I do believe, is what it is. And we welcome you here. We'll have the phone lines open tonight, 307 845-5913. I got to tell you, the verse comes to mind. Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days walk. Then Jonah began to go through the city 1 day's walk, and he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown." The scriptures are given to us for our instruction. It's quite interesting how many people will look back and just pick out certain Old Testament or even New Testament scriptures and just rejoice and build an entire denomination on that one scripture or one verse and ignore the rest. But tell me that this scripture is any less important than John 3:16. And if you think it is, explain it to me, because I don't think it is. Welcome. We got a few things to talk about tonight. Let's pray. Well, Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord. Jesus Christ, you, the Son of God, the Messiah, the great I Am, who was in the beginning, who was before the beginning, as the Word says, who was with God, and who was God, and who is God, and who became flesh and dwelt among us, and who died on the cross to save us from our sins, and who overcame death to give us that opportunity as well, and who saved us from our sins and our sicknesses and from the hands of those that hate us. Thank you, the true Jesus, the Jesus Christ of the Scripture. Thank you, Lord. I pray your blessings on this broadcast tonight, Lord. These times that we are in are perilous times. They are troubling times, but Lord, they're exciting times. Times that Lord, you allow us to see your word jumping off your page in this word and becoming just seeing it happen in real time, in real life. And we thank you for that. As your word is, as David said in the Psalms, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of your benefits, O Lord." Thank you for your benefits, for your healing and your saving and your mercy and your grace. Guide us tonight, Lord. Guide us each day. I pray for the remnant, Lord, that these words would bless them and be an encouragement to them, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity. Strengthen the remnant. Encourage them, Lord. Draw them closer to you and abide in them as they and I abide in you. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, remnant, exciting times that we're in. Hope you joined us Tuesday, just a couple days ago, for the Passover. We see the Passover as the 14th day of Abib. That's what the scriptures say. Abib being biblically the first month of the year. No, wasn't January. It was in the scriptures, Abib. And when did that new year start but the spring equinox? No, not on the third full moon after the first day of the red heifer cow saying moo, moo, moo and turning left on Thursday. No, it's not the first Sunday after all that. But that's what so much of what's called churchianity and Christianity clings to today. And I still haven't figured out what Easter eggs and bunny rabbits and chocolate bunnies have to do with Christ's resurrection. Oh, I was raised to celebrate Easter. Got many an Easter basket by my loving parents who just didn't know any better. Did the best they could. But you know, when we grew up and became adults, it falls to our responsibility to search out the matter. To just search it out. And if it's truth, well, it should not be ashamed. And if it's a lie, we'll let it be exposed and let the truth take its place. And it's nothing new. It's nothing to be ashamed of. Anyway, Passover, April 2nd, 14 days. Spring equinox, yes, was celestially, or I guess on the equator, across the globe. Yeah, globe, round globe. Kind of how we see this earth, or at least me. I I speak for no one else, was after 9 p.m. on March 19th. So when you start counting days, that day was already over. And so as soon as it's daytime and the next day rolls around, you start counting day one, day two, day three, and 14 days later was April 2nd. So we had a Passover service. We celebrated the Passover. We remembered the scriptures from Exodus 12, how God had warned Egypt and Pharaoh to let his people go, and they ignored him. And he finally brought a horrendous death plague, the death angel, on Egypt. But in amongst Egypt were his children, his people, the Israelites, the Hebrews. No, not Jews, Hebrews, Israelites, according to the scriptures. And they were protected. They were given a way out, in amongst, right next door, you might say, to the enemy, to those that were being punished. God made a way for his people, our forefathers, to be protected, to be delivered, to be saved. You remember what that was? They had to slaughter a lamb and put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost and the lintel. And when the death angel came to that house, as he was coming to every house in the land of Egypt, bar none, every house. Kind of reminds me of the scripture that says, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Anyway, that's beside the point. That was just a thought. But the scripture tells us in Exodus that the death angel came to every house. But Moses was told of God to tell the children, but when I see the blood, I will pass over you. He didn't go in the house. He didn't stop and investigate. Nope. If they were obedient, if they believed enough to be obedient and apply, do, not just hear, not just believe, but do what they were told to do, then they were spared death and destruction. Ecclesiastes tells us that there's nothing new under the sun, folks. And I read this and I share this with you, and I know I'm preaching to the remnant here, if you call this preaching, but it's a reminder that what has happened is what will happen. We have our history to look at and to rejoice in. And even if we've forgotten it, even if we've never been taught it, thank God it's still there in the scripture, highlighted maybe in two or three different colors in your Bible. And so God delivered those that were obedient. And he told us to remember it and to celebrate it and to teach it for generations. Well, we've forgotten. But you know, for the last 20 plus years, this ministry has tried to revive it, has revived it, has put it out, has taught it. Pastor brought this back up in 2001 and missed the Passover on April 2nd of that year in 2001. And you know, there were some a year after the first Passover, the first year in the wilderness, that missed it as well. And Hezekiah missed it. We read about that in 2 Chronicles. But there in the scriptures, we try to stay with the scriptures. We try not to step outside of them. But the scriptures say there's a makeup day. You can read about that in Numbers 9. And just another couple minutes and I'll move on. I want to talk about a few different things tonight. But in Numbers 9, you can read about that there were those that desired. They didn't feel, oh my gosh, I broke the law. The law is going to kill me. I must do this to obey the law. That's not what their attitude was, nor should that be. It's not our attitude today. But when you go back and read Numbers 9, you see that there were those that desired to do what was pleasing to God. They were busy. They were busy working. I think in Numbers 9, they were taking care of dead people. They were unclean. They just couldn't at that time. And so God made a way, because he saw that they desired to be obedient. They desired to do what was pleasing to God. And he made a way. And he gave them a makeup day. Just do it 30 days later. Not just the next day. He didn't say that. He didn't say, oh, don't worry about it. I know your heart. I know you wanted to. Don't worry about it. That's not what he said. Now, we may say that, but that's not what God said. God said, do it 30 days later. So there's a makeup day, folks. If you missed April 2nd, the Passover, you can make it up 30 days later on May 2nd. And I recommend that if you missed the Passover, if you didn't observe the Passover on April 2nd, that you plan on observing it on the makeup day on May 2nd. If you did observe it, good. You don't have to do it again. I don't think you get brownie points or extra credit for a second observance. And to observe it, it's not a Sabbath. It was a work day in the Bible. And so we observe it. We worked all day and did the Passover service in the evening. We recognize that. And we prayed. We recommend that you do pray. Read Exodus 12. That's the original Passover. Read Numbers 9. That's the makeup day, the first mention of it. A second witness to the makeup day from Numbers 9 is 2 Chronicles 30. You can read that of King Hezekiah. He sent messages out to, hey, we need to do this. And they weren't prepared on the Passover, so they observed it on the makeup day. And it says there that there were some that laughed them to scorn. Okay. There are those today that do the same thing, that laugh us to scorn. That's okay. They're in their company and we are in ours. Encourage you also to go and read in 1 Corinthians 5:7. It tells there of where Christ is our Passover and how to observe it, what to have and what not to have. Okay? So we encourage you to do that. We encourage you to have your communion ready and pray and partake of communion. And pray Psalms 91. Read and pray Psalms 91. I think it does have a, when we're in the mind of partaking of communion, and especially on Passover, I think Psalms 91 has a unique meaning, a different meaning, a more powerful meaning when we read and pray it on Passover. So if you have any questions, if you have any comments, you've got almost a month to find out. You know, don't wait until 7 or 8 or 9 p.m. on May 1st and start emailing and calling and, well, what about this and what about that? You know, I can't help but it reminds me of the foolish virgins that believed the bridegroom groom was coming, that had prepared some and were ready and waiting, but they really weren't ready. They didn't have their oil, and they were left out. And so none of us want you to be in that category. And now this flies in the face of the Judeo-Christianity today that says, oh, brother, don't you know the important thing is Jesus? Just believe on Jesus, and that's it. He's done it all. Okay. It's really hard to get through to those people. It's been hard for me to get through to those people. If that's what you want to do, that's the easy way out. But you'll be left out. You'll be in the company of those foolish virgins that had the door closed on them. And when they cried out, Jesus Christ said, I never knew you. So you make the choice. You look at the scriptures. You read them. You don't have to believe me, but believe the scriptures. Well, Remnant, again, the phone lines are open tonight, 307-745-5913. We did get some comments and emails, people that enjoyed the Passover service and joined us, and thank you for that. Praise God. It's not something we're looking for brownie points for. It is just done in humility and in obedience to God and the scriptures, and hopefully to help tend the flock. Well, it's interesting times. Passover, 6 days later, another total eclipse over mostly only the United States. Oh, it comes across Mexico. That's just kind of like South United States anyway anymore. And then across America, making a big X. We've talked about that. Most of you know it by now. And then moving on through Canada, crossing through 7 American and 1 Canadian cities, either in the totality of the eclipse or a heavy partial, 7 cities in the U.S., 1 in Canada named Nineveh. That should be familiar to you, Nineveh, the great city that Jonah was sent to cause them to repent. When you read the book of Jonah, it's only 4 very short chapters, just barely a page and a half in my Bible. Jonah 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Does that sound familiar? Their wickedness has come up before me. That's very similar, isn't it, to what God had said to Abram on his way to Sodom and Gomorrah. That their wickedness had come up before him. Their sin had come up before him. So, when there is sin in the land. Now, Sodom and Gomorrah, I don't believe, they were not God's people. They were not of Abram, right? And he wiped them out. Now, Nineveh, they were Assyrians. They were cursed Assyrians in Nineveh. They weren't Israelites. They were not Hebrew. But still, their sin, their wickedness had come up to God. And God is going to give them a chance, right? I read that at the beginning of the program. In Jonah 3, verse 3. That's an easy one to remember, right? Jonah 3:3. You can remember that one to share with your friends over coffee tomorrow morning when you go have coffee with them. Or Saturday morning. Hopefully you'll join us Saturday morning. But Jonah 3:3, that's the story for America today, at least in 4 days when that eclipse comes. They say there was a great solar eclipse in Nineveh. I've got my notes here somewhere that have the date on it, 767 or 547 or something BC, that a great solar eclipse happened then. And that between that great solar eclipse and this man, this Jonah, coming up out of a fish, and they worshipped mermen, they called him Dagon, the upper body of a man and the lower body of a mermaid, a big fish tail, and it's a fish tail. So between this man Jonah coming up and saying 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown, and when the people were talking about it, it was like, who's this guy? Oh, he was burped up out of a fish. That must be from our god Dagon. I can only imagine that some of the things that they were saying. And then there's a total solar eclipse, and a great black shadow is across the land. Verse 5 of Jonah 3. Then the people of Nineveh believed in God, big G God, and they called a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat on the ashes. He issued a proclamation, and it said, in Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let man, beast, herd, or flock taste a thing. Do not let them eat or drink water, but both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth, and let men call on the big G God earnestly, that each may turn from his wicked way and from the violence which is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we will not perish. If that is not a word for America, I don't know what is. Now, folks, I'm not going to tell you that God gave me a word to give to America. He gave all of us his word, and I just read it to you. And you can go look at it. You don't need me to tell you what the Word of God says. You can go look at it and see for yourself. And I encourage you to do that. But this is the word for this country today. This, as it says in the beginning, the great city. And as Jonah walked it, an exceeding great city, a 3 days walk. We're, what, a 3 days drive, this nation, from coast to coast. You can get that if you stay awake, or team drive. The parallels are there, folks. They really are. And having this big X across the nation, maybe I'm worked up about it. It shouldn't be. Maybe I'm making too big of a deal about it, but I think it's a big deal. I think that when we get these signs from the sun that was created by God for, yes, light, but also for signs, I think that is a big deal. I certainly don't fear this solar eclipse. I have fear for those that aren't right with God. I've heard the term used, marginal Christians, that are just believe on the little fluff, on the little top. I was speaking to a brother earlier today, and there's so many of these that they don't know Jesus because they don't know the Old Testament. You've heard that mentioned by Brother Zach, by Jason, by myself, by others in this ministry, that how can you know who was God and who is God and who will always be God and who came in the flesh and dwelt among us and who is Jesus Christ? How can you know him if you only read half of the word? He is the word. If you only read half or a third or whatever the New Testament is, you only get a little bit of it. Beginning in the book of Jonah, Jonah says to go and warn them. So, of course, after Jonah's 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, he sees the light, you might say. He comes around to God's way of thinking, right? And does that. And then in verse 10 of Jonah 3, it says, when God saw their deeds, it doesn't say when God realized that they believed. Okay? And I say that because in contrast to this, you're saved when you believe. You may be, but then you better get to doing. That's what the people of Nineveh did to be saved. They believed, and then they got to doing. The Hebrews in Egypt, they believed what Moses said. Kill a lamb, put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel. The ones that did that went beyond believing, but applied the belief by applying the blood to the doorpost and the lintel, they lived. They survived. They didn't get the visit from the death angel. Verse 10, when God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked way, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them. And he did not do it. Praise God. Do you see the grace and the mercy that God put upon Nineveh? The greater mercy he puts upon this nation? The greater grace and mercy, because this nation hasn't repented.
Now,
he has been gracious and merciful, but there is, not that there's a limit to it, but God limits it. He only takes it so far. In Matthew 12:41, our loving Jesus Christ, the loving Son of God that came to save us from our sins, says, he looked at these people out there and he said, the men of Nineveh will stand at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For the men of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now one greater than Jonah is here. America, we have one greater than Jonah here among us today. Our nation was founded, started, allowed, built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ to the glory of God and to further the Christian faith. Those are words from the Mayflower Compact. As foundational as you can get it to this nation. And you know, for about 300 years, we were clicking right along pretty good there. And the law of God was the basis for the law of our land. But these last 100 years, I think you can go back to the early 1900s, 1913, 1914, the Federal Reserve Act, and that was, you know, that was the enemies of God had become emboldened. We had become fat and happy and kicked, as you might say, as the scripture says in the Song of Moses. And the more we turned away from God and into ourselves, well, the more our God allowed the enemy to thrive. And now it's been a little over 400 years, just like it was in Egypt. A little over 400 years. And we've come full circle. I believe that this eclipse carries with it a story and a call and a cry for repentance, for America to repent. America, repent. In the words of Daniel 5:27, America, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. You've come up short. Don't try to compare yourself to any other nation or any other people. We have been blessed as a nation, more so than any other nation, than any other people in the history of time. Because we are the rebuilding, the regathering of God's tribes of people, of the Gentiles, of those scattered, right? Greetings, the word says, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad. Greetings, says James, the bondservant of God. And that is where we are today. And just as God was, I think, in Jonah 3:10, that he relented, I believe that is fully on the table today. If we are not as those that Christ addressed, that the men of Nineveh would condemn, because they repented, and those that Jesus spoke to would not. But his word is still alive and true and goes out today that America and Americans, you need to repent. You need to repent. You need to repent of serving that merman, fish god. How many of us today, how many of us knowingly or unknowingly go and cast our coins and spend our money at that split fish-tailed mermaid on your Starbucks cup? As many go there as don't, I would dare say. And you tell me it's not just a further worshiping and paying homage to Dagon, as the Assyrians in Nineveh did. And they worshipped the Ashtoreth, the female goddess, the female deity. And we certainly live in the times, as the Bible says, that women and children rule over us. And here in the good old USA, it's evident that the creation is worshipped more than the Creator. Spoke with a member of the ministry today, asked me to take a look at YouTube at some, so-called prophecies directed at what's going on with this, with the eclipse. And they read from Jeremiah 4, and I guess we're drawn to Jeremiah 4:28 because apparently that's supposed to be the time, the longest time of totality in this shadow coming up. In this solar eclipse that will cause this shadow. It is interesting, this solar eclipse, the one 7 years ago was called the Great American Eclipse because that was the first time that there had been a total solar eclipse across only the United States since the United States was formed. The nation born in a day in 1776. And so 7 years ago, that was the Great American Eclipse. First one ever over just this country. And they said that it was, about from 108 to 120 miles wide. Estimated that this new one will be 108 to 120 miles wide. The old one, the one in 2017, 60 to 70 miles wide. So this one, a good bit, twice as big. Okay? Twice as big. And about 12 million people lived in the area of totality back in 2017. This year, about 32 million people. And so affecting more people. And we shared with you before, but I think it goes to say again that, and even NASA reported that they expect 99% of the people who reside in the United States will be able to see at least a partial, if not the total, eclipse. Even in Alaska and Hawaii. Now, Remnant, I think that in itself is a sign. In Nineveh, all fasted, it said. Didn't we read that? Didn't we read that? All turned and changed. And the king declared everybody. And our King of Kings here is making it so that everybody in this country, in this new J-E-R, USALEM is able to see part of this eclipse as a sign to repent. You know, in the days that Jesus walked, and elsewhere in Matthew, they asked him for a sign. Lord, this we desire a sign. Show us a sign. And Jesus called them an evil and adulterous generation, he said, that sought after a sign. And he said, but they would only get the sign of Jonah. And of course, then in that part of the story, I think it was, and most agree, that it was that just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, and then came out, that Jesus would be 3 days and three nights in the grave, and then would come out. And he did. But you know, as most of the scriptures are, there's usually, as Paul Harvey used to say, you know, the rest of the story. And it's not that there needs to be any more to that resurrection story. But there are other signs of Jonah. The story of Jonah is a story of repentance. Well, back to Jeremiah 4. So I listened. I couldn't watch, but I listened to the little hour YouTuber thing, whatever it was, on the way home. And they read from Jeremiah 4:28, because that's supposed to be the time of totality, right? Jeremiah, or 4 minutes and 28 seconds. So this person, you know, was called by God and given all this by God. And I just kind of take that with a grain of salt. Maybe they were, maybe they weren't. It's not my point to judge, but. So Jeremiah 4:28, it says, for this, and we know that Jeremiah, I mean, he was called to bring the word of God to the people. In Jeremiah 1, God says, I will pronounce my judgments on them, on the people, concerning all their wickedness, where they have forsaken me and offered sacrifices to other gods and worshiped the works of their own hands. And by golly, that's where we are today. This word that God gave Jeremiah to preach to Judah then is certainly for us in America today. So Jeremiah 4:28, the time of totality. Well, let's take a look. For the earth shall mourn and the heavens above be dark. Because I, God, have spoken, God has purposed, and I will not change my mind, nor will I turn from it. And when you read on, it is a warning to Judah. We've been reading and from Jeremiah for a while. You read on. Jeremiah 5, why should I pardon you, God says? Your sons have forsaken me. Says, when I fed them to the full, they just committed adultery. They trooped to the harlot's house, well-fed, lusty horses. Does that not describe America today? Everyone neighing after his neighbor's wife? Shall I not punish these people, declares the Lord? On a nation such as this, shall I not avenge myself? And he's not talking about the Amalekites or the Assyrians or the Canaanites here. He's talking about me and you. He's talking about us, his people, in this his land. I wish the person would have kept reading. Verse 8, well, let's go. Verse 30, he says, an appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely. The priests rule on their own authority. Can you just imagine? We live how horrible this is today. The prophets and the priests, the preachers, the leaders, the so-called spiritual leaders of the land, they tell lies and they rule on their own authority. They do, by golly, what's good for them. And how many of them have multi-million dollar homes and jets and 26 car garages and all that stuff? Can you not see this, folks? Oh, they do. The next verse says, and my people love it so. Oh, my people love it. But what will you do at the end of it? What will you do at the end of it? Now, verse 18, it's not all death and destruction. Verse 18, God says, yet even in those days. See, he didn't say, yet even today. He says, no, in those days. That lets you know that it's for us. It's for these days that we are in. It's not just for those old days, but these days that we are in. He says, yet even in those days, declares the Lord, I will not make you a complete destruction. Whew. You read it. I don't have time to read it all, but he says, declare this. Now hear, O foolish and senseless people, who have eyes but do not see, and ears but do not hear. Do you not fear me, declares the Lord? Do you not tremble in my presence? And he goes on and on. I don't know that anything terrible and horrible is going to happen on the day of the eclipse. I certainly don't. But who knows? I know the National Guard has been called out. Several states have declared emergencies. Oh, because of travel. Because they're expecting more people. That's what they say. Okay. Maybe they know something we don't. I don't know. But I think that it is hearkening and bringing in a day and a time that repentance is needed. You know, the Bible period of Pentecost approaches. Looking through, you know, we have never had any type of activity or celebration or anything for Pentecost. And we're not planning, at least right now, to do anything. But, you know, it was 50 days after Passover. In Acts 2, I think we have time. Let's flip over to Acts 2. And this describes, it was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, right? The day of Pentecost. You can read about it. I encourage you to do that. It was 50 days, right? 50 days after Passover. Well, if you've got Passover's April 2nd, 30 days later is May 2nd, so 20 more days would be May 22nd for the day of Pentecost. If you've got this eclipse on April 6th, well, 30 days later would be May 6th, another 20 days would be May 26th. That's pretty close to the day of Pentecost. Now, I make no prophecy. I don't know. I'll be the first one to tell you. I just thought about that on the way home, called and talked to a brother a little bit about that, ran it by him, and just to make sure I had the dates right. And again, I don't know. You know, Pentecost, the celebration, the remembrance of Pentecost coming just a few days after, 40 days after the second big shadow crossing this country, making a big X, over 7 years. Again, I think all of it is pointing in different ways to those that have not repented to repent. And I think that's something that we can all share with our friends and family, is that if anything, it's a sign from God for repentance, because that is greatly needed in this nation. And then, folks, I think for those of us that have repented, that have heard and obeyed and been baptized, and do our best to follow Jesus Christ and to be more like him and less like us, that it's a time for us to rejoice, that it's a time for our faith to be increased, for us to know. Maybe we don't know exactly what's happening, but we can put our eyes on Christ. We say, Lord, we don't know what's happening. We don't know exactly what to do, but our eyes are upon you, and we have faith in you that whatever has to happen, if the Red Sea needs to be parted again, if the Jordan needs to be parted so we can walk over on dry ground, if the walls of Jericho need to come down, whatever it may be. But make sure we stay the course. It's a time for us to be aware. I had one scripture I think I wanted to finish out with tonight. Let me see if I can find it real quick. We are running out of time. Well, I don't see it. That's all right. But really, remnant, it is, here it is, Philippians. Philippians 1, 27 and 28. We're told, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, in no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God. Amen. You know, when God parted the Red Sea and brought his children through, that was salvation for them. But what was it for the Egyptians that tried to follow? Destruction. Destruction. And that's what's coming for them, but salvation for us. Praise God. Well, Remnant, thank you. That's all I got tonight. God bless. Keep the faith. Hope you can join us Saturday morning for Coffee with the Wranglers right here at scripturesforamerica.org. Coffee Saturday morning will be 7 a.m. Mountain Time, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. on the East Coast, and 6 a.m. on the West Coast. We'll have the phone lines open. We'll talk to you then. God bless.
Now here's a song for all of you liberals who believe your ways are best, who don't mind overcrowding this nation with a swarm of foreign immigrants, who don't care about the population, who don't care if it's foul on our nest. When are you ever gonna read the writing upon the wall? We got crime overtaking our cities. We got gangs taking over our streets.